Well, let's get to that. We're still talking about You, Me, and SP. And today my title message is Schaefer Ministry. You know, and again, remember, I want you to think in terms of you in a relationship with your church. Now, there's an old, you may have read this before back in the days, but Napoleon, he once pointed to a map of China, and he said, you know, as he looked in this map, he said, there lies a sleeping giant. If it ever wakes up, it will be unstoppable. You know, and so, I mean, we're actually seeing that happening right now in the midst of us, right? China is waking up, you know, and if we're going to talk about sleeping giants, there is one huge sleeping giant that we're actually all a part of, and that's the church, you know, and not that the church is sleeping. I don't want you to get that way, but there is so much untapped resources that are in the church that God wants to use, you know, and once that happens, I'm telling you, man, the church will become unstoppable, right? The church in Hong Kong will be unstoppable. You know, you have to recognize every believer, you know, remember, every believer is not a pastor, okay? But every believer is called to ministry. Amen? Right? Every believer is called to some sort of ministry, right? If you've ever doubted your calling in ministry, right, consider this. God has been molding and shaping you, right, for ministry, even when before you were even born, right? Turn your Bible to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16. You guys ready? All right, Psalm 139. For thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you, and when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as that year was not one of them. Let's pray, huh? Let's ask God to help us today. Father, we just thank you for this time, God. Lord, I pray that you would come and you would bless this word. God, bless this congregation. Lord, begin to stir something so powerful within us today, God. Lord, as you speak to us, God. We ask right now, Lord, that you release to us the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us today, right here, right now, God. Lord, we thank you so much, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, we read the New American Standard Version. Let me read you the Message. This is Eugene Peterson's translation of the same passage. And I like reading the Message because it's kind of a modern-day translation. That's what he says, the same 139, 13 to 16. Oh, yes, you shape me inside, or you shape me first inside, then out. You form me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. Right? And so we recognize that even before you were born, God has been shaping you and God has been molding you. Right? Even before, you know, you were even a thought in your mother's eyes and in your father's, you know, stare, right? God was shaping you and he was forming you and he had a purpose there. Aaron, can you find out who's doing that and ask him to stop for a couple hours? Thanks. It's probably upstairs somewhere. Okay? Now, this passage indicates a couple things. It indicates, number one, that God shaped you for a purpose, right? Isn't it wonderful to know that we are not on this planet for no reason whatsoever? You know, have you ever, hopefully this was before you accepted the Lord. I remember going through phases in my life before I became a Christian where, you know, maybe sometimes I'd had a difficult day or some days, you know, I had some kind of episode happen or some days I was just in a very kind of melancholy mood. And I remember sometimes finding difficulty sleeping. And I would remember looking up to the ceiling and just asking, you know, and I don't know if God was there, I didn't know what. And I just asked, what am I doing here? You know, what's my purpose? You know, I mean, there are a few things that I enjoy doing, you know, and I mean, I had fun. I wasn't like one of those really dark, you know, kind of oriented people. In fact, I was kind of lively, you know, but there were moments in my life where I kind of looked and said, what am I doing here? What's the purpose of this all? You know, maybe some of you guys pulled an all-nighter this week, or, you know, had a very difficult business meeting, or some deal fell through, or you're going through these things, and you ask this question, what am I doing here? You're talking about your job, you know, but then maybe it's a bigger question of what am I doing here on earth? You know, but isn't it a relief to understand and know that God made each one of us with a purpose? Right, that God, when God, the word there is he fearfully and wonderfully created us. In other words, there's incredible design to the way that God made us. And when he made us with a purpose. Right, you know, remember I shared a long time ago, right? There are two significant moments in a person's life. The first moment is when they're born. The second moment is when they realize why they were born. Right, and that's when you walk and you find out what your purpose is in this life. And so God made you for a purpose. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking? God shaped you for a purpose, right? This passage also tells us that we are unique, right? Isn't that wonderful? You know, I mean, you know, I know some of you guys think you're so great. You know, sometimes you think, man, I'm so great. I wish there was 10 of me, you know? But that's just not the case. Number one, I'm not so great. And number one, that's just impossible. Maybe cloning, you know, maybe our kids' generation, something can happen in that way. You know, but we are all, every one of us, we are unique. You know, I mean, think about this. Can you imagine how boring this church would be if we're all the same? If we talked alike, we looked alike, we smelled alike, we dressed alike. You know, I mean, what if we're all, you know, Korean Americans from LA? You know what I mean? Or what if we're all, you know, Chinese guys from Shanghai? You know what I mean? Or, you know, just throw something at someone else out, right? Pretty boring. Right, but we are all unique, every single one of us. You know, God took the time to make every single one of us different. Man, that's really, I mean, that really boggles my mind, and I just a sense of awe. You know, because it's really easy to make copies. You know what I mean? You know, it's like you know, have you guys ever baked cookies? I actually done it a couple times. You know. And stuff, and I remember baking cookies, and you know, a lot of times you get that cookie cutter thing, and it's so easy to make the same cookie. But then one time I tried to be unique and make different shapes and stuff. Man, it took forever, and I just didn't come out like the way I wanted to come out anyway. You know, but it's like it takes time to make different things. You know, but it's very easy to make one copy of something. You know, or to have one original and just copy everything else. But God took the time to make every single one of us unique. That should really speak to you. You know why? Because you should never want to be like somebody else. Really, you should never want to be like somebody else. Because then, you know that mindset? You know what that says? God, you did a bad job with me. Right? I don't like what you did. Why can't you make me like that person over there? Or why can't you make me like that person? Why can't I have what that person has? And once you begin to operate in that kind of mindset, you're saying, God, you didn't do a very good job at all. You know, in fact, you're a horrible creator. You know, I could have done a better job myself. You know, but we recognize that's not true, right? So every one of us, you are unique. And that's a good thing. You know, I mean, you know, I'm glad there's only one Janie. We can only handle one Janie, right, in this life. And so, but what a blessing that is. You know, and there's only one Matt. There's only one KJ. There's only one Joy. There's only one. You know, and that's what makes it so beautiful. You know, that's what makes life and living and relationships and friendships, that's what makes it so special. Right, every single one of us, we are unique. Right, why don't you turn to the other neighbor and say, hey, good looking, you are unique. Right? The third thing that this passage tells us is that you are wonderfully complex. Right? Wow. You know, sometimes you think, man, you know, have you ever get in an argument with someone, maybe your boyfriend or girlfriend or your wife or a husband or ex-boyfriend, and you think, you're so complex, you know? What's wrong with you? How come you can't think like me? Or, you know, and you have all this conflict. But that's a gift from God, right? That you are wonderfully complex. Now, it's not disturbingly complex, right? Wonderfully complex. You know, in other words, you know, you're made in a shape in such a way, and there's diversity and the way you think and all that, the package of who you are. And God says, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. You know, in one way, sometimes it's good that people can't read us like a book. Do you know what I mean? Because if that was the case, you know, there wouldn't really be depth of intimacy. But it's great that we are all complex, that we actually have to get to know each other. We actually have to enter into each other's lives, you know, and begin to see exactly who they are. You know what racism is? Racism basically is making a quick judgment without getting to know who that person is. That's basically what racism is. You know, profiling, stereotype, it's kind of the same thing. But racism is you judge someone based on their color without getting to know them, and you just put a label on them, and that's it, and you move on. That's laziness. I mean, that's laziness, right? It's ignorance. You know, but what happens is because we are so complex, it takes for us to actually step into someone's life and get to know them, talk with them, relate with them, speak to them, spend time with them, and then relationship blossoms out of that, right? I mean, so it's a good thing that we're complex, right? It's a good thing that, you know, and some of you guys may think that you know me. Yeah, you don't really know me. You know what I mean? I may think I know you. I don't really know you either, unless we spend time together and really begin to move into the complexities of our life. That's beauty, right? That's relationship. You know, and God's called us to that, right? So turn to yourself and say, hey, good looking. You're wonderfully complex, right? Just speak to yourself today. That was kind of weird, right? And stuff. And so you recognize, right, that each one of us, that we are a composite of many, many different factors. You know, and I stole this from Rick Warren. He puts this as acronym, and it's called SHAPE. And that's what I want to talk about today, S-H-A-P-E. You know, and when we're talking about serving, and when we're talking about, you know, our relationship with church, and, you know, and all these things, you know, these things will be embodied in SHAPE. In other words, you are shaped for ministry, right? SHAPE, S. The first one is spiritual gifts, right? Number one, spiritual gifts. This is what makes who you are. Now, the Bible teaches that God gives every believer certain spiritual gifts to be used in ministry, right? You can write notes. I'm not going to read all these verses, but 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 8, Ephesians 4, there's a pretty fair list of all these spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, the word that they use is the word chariz, right? And it's also where we get the word charisma. The gift is actually charisma, you know, and it doesn't mean charm or someone's personality. Actually, charisma means gift. It comes from the Greek word charis, which means grace. You know, and in the same way that we've been saved by grace, in other words, not something that you did, it's just a free gift. And so every single one of us, we have like this free gift from God, and it's this supernatural ability to do things, right? And not only that we take this, and the key of spiritual gifts is not for us, it's to bless other people, right? And so for me here, you know, as I operate in my gift every week. You know, and one of the spiritual gifts that I operate is the gift of teaching. You know, and so I take this gift that God has given to me, I've developed it, honed it, and now you get to be the beneficiary of it every week. You know, and so, you know, some of you guys have already benefited from others' gifts as well. We have an intercessory prayer team, and God's blessed certain individuals to pray. It's a spiritual gift that He gives. Now, we're all called to pray, but God gives certain individuals a spiritual gift to intercede and receive and download information from God and the strength and ability to pray those things out, and God answers prayers, you know, more than someone that doesn't have the gift. Not that God doesn't answer those people that don't have the gift, but you guys understand what I'm saying, right? And so, right? And so, you know, so we recognize that, and you guys have benefited because we've been praying for you, right? We're praying that God blesses your life. We've been praying for all kinds of things in your life as a body, and you are benefiting from someone else's gift. You know, there's a few people here. I'll just point out, right? My brother, Sangwon. Sangwon has a gift of administration. You know, and so that's a God-given gift that God has given to him, and he administrates, right? He takes care of all the funds, and he's our accountant, and, you know, does all these things, and you benefit from that, you know, especially when you get your reimbursement, right? You get that envelope full of cash, you're like, woo, yay, right? And so, and because we all benefit from his labor and the gift that God has given to him. You know, and so we recognize that these gifts that God has given to us, this free gift, and every single one of you has, and I'll say this, have spiritual gifts, not even just one gift. You know, in fact, the proper term that we use in school is that you actually have what we call a gift mix, right? It's like a bag of different gifts that come together, you know, and it makes up your part of your ministry, you know, and the things that you do, right? These are spiritual gifts, you know, and in fact, in the scriptures, if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, right, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that you should earnestly desire spiritual gifts. In other words, you should be going out of your way to find out what areas or what gifts God has given to you, Right? In fact, if you don't, that's called sin, right? Because he says, desire earnestly spiritual gifts. You know, so there's all kinds of gifts. There's a gift of prophecy. You know, some of you guys remember Rob and Mary that came, and, you know, other people that, you know, sometimes myself and others that operate in the gift of prophecy, you know, and they come and they're able to download information from God, and then they give it to you in a very edifying, encouraging way to build you up, right? They're operating in their gift, you know, and that's what they do. You know, and other people, you know, man, she's going crazy, right? You know, have different gifts, and, you know, and so, they, you know, all these things that happen, they operate to bless the body of Christ. God has downloaded in your life certain gifts, right? He's blessed you with things in your life, you know, and out of that, he's going to use that, right, to build up your ministry, and right, and really shape many people's lives all around. You know, spiritual gifts, right? Remember, are only one part of the picture. Sometimes we overemphasize spiritual gifts in the church. You know, and everything's about spiritual gifts. You know, in fact, people don't even serve unless they know what their spiritual gifts are. You know, and so we got to make sure that we don't overemphasize, because spiritual gifts are just one part of many, many different things that make up who we are. And we're going to talk about those different things today. Right? And so we make sure that we don't overemphasize them to neglect other equally important factors, right? Now, natural abilities that you're born with, right? These things also came from God, you know? And so we need to recognize that. So do your experiences, your inborn personality traits, right? Your Creator factored all these things in, and this makes up who you are as a unique individual, right? And, you know, other times, too, sometimes spiritual gifts are not emphasized at all. You know, I was actually really shocked. I remember teaching on spiritual gifts a while ago, and I was shocked to hear that some people that were actually in the audience had never even heard of the term a spiritual gift before. And they've been going to church their whole life, you know. And I was like, who's your pastor? Let me go strangle him for a little bit, you know. I mean, just absolutely amazing, you know, and stuff. So we make sure that we don't de-emphasize these spiritual gifts, right? But I will say this. You know, over the period of a few years now, my mindset towards spiritual gifts has been changing quite a bit. You know, before I used to say, discover your spiritual gifts, right? And then you know what ministry you're supposed to have. You know, now I actually go turn it backwards. And now I think, you know, start experimenting with different ministries. Go out and do it. Then you'll know what you're gifted in. You know, and it's kind of a reverse thing. And, you know, to me, that kind of makes a little bit more sense, right? You know, until you actually get involved in serving, you're not going to know what you're really good at, right? Until you actually go about and do it, you're not going to know what you're good at. You're not going to know how God has gifted you. You know, it's what I tell the guys on the basketball team, right? You can't score if you don't shoot, right? It's just one of those things. Right? If you don't shoot, you're not going to score. And so it's, you know, unless you serve, right, then you may not know what God has gifted you in. And so just go out and serve, get involved, do a lot of different things, okay? So S, right, shape for ministry, S, spiritual gifts. H, the second one, is heart, okay? Now the Bible uses the term heart to represent the center of your motivation, the center of your desires, your interests, and your inclinations, okay? Your heart determines why you say the things you do. It determines why you feel the way you do, and why you act the way you do. If you want to read some scriptures, Matthew 12:34, Proverbs 4:23, Psalm 37:4, and kind of go through some of these things, right? Physiologically, each of us has a unique heartbeat. Did you know that? I just found out this week when I was studying this. Every single, we have a very unique heartbeat. Every single, you know, kind of like we have, you know, our fingerprints are unique, as well as what do they call your eye thing? Your retina is unique, right? And also your teeth, you know, as well, that they're unique, and your DNA obviously is unique. Also, your heartbeat is individually unique. You know, I don't know if the sound, or I don't know exactly how they prove that, you know, but I read it, so, you know, so now you know. And things, and so, see, you're benefiting from the gift already. Isn't that amazing? And so, you know, we kind of understand that, you know, and each person has a slightly different pattern, heartbeat pattern. Likewise, God has given each of us unique emotional heartbeat, right, that races when we encounter certain activities, subjects, or circumstances that interest us. And so heart, right, the feeling, emotion, all these things are also an important part of ministry and the things that God had given to us. You know, another word for heart, right, is passion, right? And these are certain subjects that you feel passionate about and others that you couldn't care less about. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, sometimes we feel like as a Christian, you gotta always like feel for this all the time. You know, and you know, like I remember sometimes when, especially in the States before, you know, when Ethiopia was going through tremendous famine. You know, sometimes I would watch television, you know, and especially late night, and, you know, these shows would come on, you know, to sponsor these kids. And you'd see these emaciated African kids. And I'll be honest, sometimes I could care less. You know, I was too busy, you know, maybe I was cold-hearted. I don't know what it was. And, you know, and it kind of bothered me for a while. I was like, I'm a Christian. How come I'm not moved by this at all? You know, and I recognize, well, that's just my temperament sometimes. Obviously, sometimes I am very moved by it, you know, but we, you know, kind of fluctuate in our feelings or whatnot, and there's necessarily nothing wrong with that, because God has given each of us a different heartbeat. You know, we have some of us here that you are just crazy about missions. You know, I mean, you just breathe, you know, and bleed missions. You know, and every time you know, a missionary comes and share testimony, you just sit there and you bawl, you know, or you're so moved in your heart. Other people, right, you don't want to step outside of your house. You know what I mean? And the idea of going to another country, foreign country, is just scares you to death. You know, probably not in this group, though. I mean, you guys been everywhere already. You know what I mean? But there are some groups of people that operate in that way. And that's, God has given us different passions. You know, and that's okay. Some of you guys are passionate for little kids. You know, some of you guys hate little kids. You know, like, you know, it's like you don't want them to be around you whatsoever. They're dirty, smelly. You know, you're gonna mess up your couch and all that kind of stuff, you know. And so that's okay. We all have different personalities, right? We all have different temperaments, you know. And this is what makes every one of us unique, right? God had a purpose in giving you your inborn interests, right? There was a purpose there. Your emotional heartbeat reveals a very important key to understanding His intentions for your life, right? Don't ignore your natural interests. Right, people rarely excel at tasks they don't enjoy doing. Right, high achievers enjoy what they do. Right? In other words, find out what you're passionate about and serve the Lord in that way. You know, I mean, if you're passionate about NGOs or, you know, about missions, or you're passionate, you know, about worship, or, you know, and find a way that there's something that you're passionate about and you go for it. You know, maybe you're passionate about different cultures. You know, give yourself to that. God will open some way, some door for you to operate in your ministry in that way. All right, so we can rest assured in that. So heart, right? The A, third thing, is abilities. Abilities, okay? These are the natural talents that you were born with. Right? Every single one of us, we were born with natural talents. Have you ever heard the term, wow, that's just God-given ability. You know what I mean? Like you see, you know, some of you guys are basketball fans, right? I try to stay away from the sports analogies, right, for a while, but I got to come back to it because that's just who I am, right? And stuff. So some of you guys know, you know, Michael Jordan, right? You know, Michael Jordan, obviously a phenomenal athlete. You know, no one in his family is above 6 feet tall. Did you know that? And a homeboy is 6'6", right? I mean, that gives some of us some hope, you know? And so, or gives our next generation some hope. You know, and I mean, just out of nowhere, and you know, and apparently his brother, and they were pretty decent athletes, but I mean, Jordan just off the hook. You know what I mean? Like 40-inch vertical, and you know, that's how high a person can jump, right? Some of you guys don't know what that term means. You know, and just a phenomenal athlete. You know, and that's just God-given. You know what I mean? Obviously, he works hard to hone his skills in these things, but some things are just God-given. You know, and especially, you know, I grew up playing volleyball. Volleyball was my favorite sport growing up, or one of my favorites kind of later on. And, you know, I ended up playing college. I played club teams. I just enjoyed it so much. And sometimes when you play volleyball, there's this kind of, if I could say, this litmus test for manhood when it comes to volleyball. And it's called the vertical jump. You know, because no matter, you can be in the gym and you could work out for years. Statistically, you could probably only increase your vertical by plus or minus about 4 inches. That's it. All right? I don't care if you do calf raises until your calves, you know, look like breasts, you know, or chest, male chest, right? You know what I mean? Just this monster calves, right? Forget I said that, man. I don't know where that came from, right? I was just thinking. Right? No matter how big your calves are, right, you can do so much, it just won't grow. It won't become as big, and you can't utilize the, even the growth of that. You know, you can do squats until, you know, your legs are, you know, 36 inches round. In terms of your vertical, plus or minus 4 inches, scientifically proven. I mean, that's amazing, right? And so, you know, I mean, a person's ability to jump, there's many, many different factors. Trust me, I studied them all, right? It's actually the angle of the knee when it goes down before the jump. It's actually the length of the calf muscle, as well as the strength of your toes. You know, the toe is the last thing that touches the ground to go up. You build your toes, you can gain at least 2 inches of your vertical. That's pretty impressive, right? Just doing simple toe exercises. You know, and so, I mean, there's all these different things that happen. You know, this is your glute, your butt, and, you know, different things, parts of your muscles. But certain limit that you can build before, everything before then is all God-given. Right, and so obviously we're talking about physical things, but especially in the things that we do, right? The way your mind works, you know, the way that you process information, the way that you are able to communicate that information, all these things, right? A lot of these things are God-given natural talents, right? Some people, like I said, have a natural ability with words. You know what I mean? Like they, you know, some people are just confused. You know, and then some guy can come and just explain to you what it is, and all of a sudden, boom. Like in college, right? You know, one of the things about universities is that they have the worst teachers. You know, sometimes universities, they think that, you know, some guy has a PhD that they could teach. We know that's not the case. Just because you're smart doesn't mean you can teach, right? And so, but who are the teachers that we really enjoyed? The ones that were able to explain very clearly, right, this incredible depth of information that they had, right? I mean, just amazing. And so, and there's some people have a natural ability with words. You know, I mean, you kind of like listening to them. You know, even amongst, you know, a lot of different pastors, you know, and people, for me personally, that I enjoy listening to. I mean, about all these, there are some people I just really enjoy listening to. I mean, I would stop everything. I would drive for hours if I knew they were in town and go listen to them speak. Because there's just a natural ability with words. You know, the way they dispense the words, the way they put the sentences together and these things, it's amazing. And if you guys read at all, you recognize that gift as well, when people can just write so well. You know, and it's not burdensome to actually pick up a book and read, you know, because there's a natural ability there. You know, others, you know, have a natural ability with numbers. Some of you guys are gifted with numbers. You know, some of us aren't. You know how you can tell if someone's gifted with numbers? Next time you go out to eat, and the check comes, right? See who gets the check, right? See who bills and says, oh, calculate this, man, right? Then, you know, before Hyge left, it was Hyge, right? Right? Bill came, Hyge, here, how much do we owe, right? And so we just, you know, people just know he's good with numbers, so give it to him. And interestingly, you know, some of you guys know Hyge's back, he's an accountant, right? So I hope you're good with numbers, right, if you're an accountant. You know, so but those are natural abilities. They think mathematically, you know, and lots of they can't understand when other people don't understand math. You know, or you know, how many of you guys here are just, when you took calculus, you just got it like that? One person? Two people? The few? Why are you so embarrassed? Right? It's kind of like, right? One person, right? There's a few. How many of you guys didn't get calculus at all? Right? And you're like, this is like, I'm on a foreign planet right here, right? You know, some of these, it kind of operates like that. And there's a God-given gift with numbers, and some people don't have it. You know, and let's, even outside of the intellect, even, you know, now I'm going to get into the women's realm, fashion, right? There are some people that no matter what they wear, they just look good. You know what I mean? I mean, they just, the way they put things together. You know, and like, if I be honest, right, I look at some of you guys, you know, and I was at a, I was at a store, and I saw the item that you're wearing. There's no way in hell I'm going to buy that thing. but it works for that person, right? You know what I mean? There's just some people that just have a natural ability, right? There's a skill with clothing, with fashion, you know? And some people just don't have it. You know, I'm kind of middle of the road, right? I'm not that bad, but I'm just kind of middle, right? And stuff. But actually, for me, I'm very bad with colors and with patterns, right? And so if you've noticed the way I dress, everything's solid colors, right? I don't really like checkers, patterns, because I don't know how to match them with stuff, you know, and things. So that's my kind of demise. So everything's solid, right? Even this is kind of a little pattern, but it's nice and blue. It doesn't matter, right? You know, and so if you're ever buying me anything, just remember, right? Just patterns, you know, patterns. So in any case, right? So there's these natural abilities that happen in one of these things, right? Exodus 31, verse 3. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it for time's sake. Since I know we have town hall meeting today. And it says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all kinds of craftsmanship. This is when God was appointing Moses, right, to get the people to build a temple. And God says, I've chosen this man over here. I've chosen them, and I've given them all the kind of wisdom. I've given them abilities, and I've given them skill in all different kinds of crafts. Right? I mean, that's awesome. You know, and God says, and basically, God says, I put that skill in them so they could serve the church. Right? So they could build my house. You know, and there's all these skills that God has given to you, right? There's these abilities, you know, that God has put inside of you, you know, not only intellectually, but, you know, kind of a sense about you and all these things. And God has put that in you because he wants to use you in some amazing way, right? I mean, it's awesome. You know, I mean, one thing that's very clear, it's interesting. Did you know that worship is not listed as one of the spiritual gifts? Right? You know, like singing or these things. It's, you know, and it kind of boggles my mind. Actually, my professor in school, he said that he pretty much wrote the quintessential book on spiritual gifts. And he said that if he were to write the book over there, he would add worship in the list as well, even though it's not listed in any of the passages. You know, but worship is not listed as one of the spiritual gifts. You know, but we can recognize people are gifted in worship. You know what I mean? I mean, some people can just flat out sing. You know, some people just can't sing. You know, I mean, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that because God doesn't really care how they sound like. It just matter, he cares about the heart, right? That's what I tell myself to God all the time, right? You know, and stuff. So, you know, but there's some people that are just gifted, right? There's a natural ability there, and you get to see them operating in the ability every week. You know, and Poyoung and Jine and Nate and, you know, Janie and, you know, and all Marsha and all these people that come up and sing and play instruments and, you know, Will and Tom, you know, all these guys. If I forgot anyone, forgive me, right? You know, and, you know, they come and they bless and they release their ministry, right? And they're taking these natural abilities that God has given to them and they're blessing people, you know? Some of you guys will be the recipient today, if you come to the town hall meeting, of these wonderful cupcakes, right? You know? And not everyone can bake, man. You know what I mean? And not everyone can bake well, you know? And to decorating these things, and God has given Jacinta the gift, right? The ability to, you know, create stuff. You know, this guy, remember the cake that she made for Elise, you know, on her 100th day? I can't wait to see her 1 year birthday cake. You know what I mean? And so you're gonna have to top that, right? Oh, don't think I'm manipulating her. She already knows. She already says she's gonna make the cake. She says she has an idea already, right? And stuff. So, you know, but it's like there's a natural ability there, and she's using it to bless other people. Right? Isn't that amazing? You know, some of you guys, God has given you the ability to make money. Right? God-given ability to make wealth. And that's a gift from God. Remember the scripture says, right? God gives the ability to make wealth and he adds no trouble to it. Right? He adds no sorrow to it. And God gives that ability to you and he's given to some of you. Right? And you're using it and you're blessing the church. You know? Did you know that we, well, we're talking about in our town hall meeting, but you know, we have a budget that we set aside. Did you know we're about 85% there already with months to go? In fact, our mission budget is almost, we've already almost reached our goal already. You know, it's because God has blessed you, right? Remember we talked about last year, I says, man, you give to the Lord, watch, God will bless you, God will promote you, God will give you raises. And that's exactly what God has done, right? He's held up to his part of the bargain, you know, because that's just what God does, right? That's his business, of blessing his people when he finds that his people are trustworthy. When he finds you're trustworthy, man, he will bless your socks off, right? You know, there's a description in 2 Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he could strongly support those whose hearts are completely his. And when he finds out that he can trust you, God says he comes to strongly support all that that person's about and all that person does, right? So all these abilities, you know, that comes, you know, and one of the common excuses for people not to give and not to get involved in ministry, some people say, I just don't have any abilities to offer. That's hogwash, Right? You know, there's a study that I was reading. This study says every single individual, you have between 500 to 700 skills. That's pretty amazing, right? It's like, man, I didn't know I was so talented, you know? Every single person you have, if you were to actually list them all out, you have between 500 to 700 skills. Now, don't you think God could use one of those 500 to 700, right, to expand his kingdom, to bless other people? I mean, it's absolutely amazing, right? This natural ability. Some of you guys have a natural ability. And I want to draw a picture. It's kind of like a mother, you know, you have a natural ability to take care of people. You know, people are so at ease, comfortable, and all these things. I mean, it's quite amazing. You know, there's many of you here that are very nurturing, you know, and it's very easy for you to get to talk to people and get to know people, right? And a lot of those people have, you know, are on the welcoming team. They're using their natural ability, we're going to talk about the next one, personality a bit, right? And they come and they're using it for God's purposes. That's a beautiful thing, right? And so don't ever say that you don't have enough skill, right? No, the problem is, number one, is that we need to enter into some kind of skill identification, right? You know, it could be a questionnaire or some kind of assessment that you assess some skill identification. The other one, and this is kind of the church's obligation, is a process to help match your abilities, match your skills with the right ministry. You know, and that's an ongoing process that we're doing here, right? You know, some of you just have the ability, the natural ability to see big picture. You know what I mean? Some of you are very detail-oriented. Some are really vision-oriented. I mean, really big picture. God will bless that. You know, I'll be honest. This week, man, this past week, I was so blown away. You know, there's a member of our church. We had a leadership meeting, you know, and they're all over at my house. And, you know, I'm talking about Jacinta, right? When I see Jacinta, you know, I just think some Hawaiian, what's up, man, you know? Hang loose, dude, kind of thing. And then we're at this meeting, and we're talking about some things, and she was off the hook, man. I mean, she was like, we got to do, right? And I was like, I remember sitting down, I'm going, I believe in alien body snatching now, right? I mean, where's Jacinta that I know, right? I mean, I was just amazed. And you know what happened? It's this businesswoman side, right? This gift that God had given to her as a businesswoman, it came out, you know, and it was just like, wow, it was awesome, you know, and all these things that she came up with and these things, and now Tom has got to deal with it now, you know, since it's kind of the IT and all that, the whole department, and you know what I mean, and stuff, and it's like, that's what a great way. It's this ability to see things in a different way, you know, in a way that betters, and obviously using in the business realm, but now she's taken that same skill set, right, those same natural abilities, and brought them and honed them into church, and saying, this is how we can make church better, right? And so, I mean, I knew I put her on the leadership team for some reason, right? You know what I mean? I mean, that's what it's about, right? You know, that's using these abilities that God had given to us, honing these things, and then launching them to bless other people, right? This is how we serve. I mean, just stop and think for yourself. Think of all the wonderful things that God has given to you. I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about inside. Abilities, gifts, you know, heart, passion. You know, I mean, there are so many talented people in this room. You know, I mean, I get amazed. Trust me, I may not tell you in front of your face, but I talk behind your back all the time. You know, good things, very good things, you know. And I talk to my friends. Oh, man, our church is awesome. These guys are so, right? I should tell you in front of your face once in a while, too, right? You guys are awesome, right? And stuff. And I mean, it's just absolutely amazing the amount of talent that's here, the heart and the passion that's here. You know, let's you know, kind of as a pastor, I'm like, let's tap into that in some way. To bless the body of believers and ultimately, you know, not just to bless the church, but to bless the world, right, through his church, right? I mean, there's so many wonderful things that you guys have, you know, the ability to administrate, the ability to think big picture, right, the ability to share, you know, the ability to pray, the ability to care. You know, there's so many things that God has given to us. Let's use it to build his church, Okay, it's really interesting. You know, some of you guys, I'll give you one example. Some of you guys are very good at designing things. You know what I mean? And that, I'm not talking about like designing t-shirts and stuff, but like, you know, like interior decoration. There's some kind of skill there, you know, and stuff. And you know, like right now, we need someone to interior decorate the bathroom, right? Give yourself to that. You know what I mean? It's like these skill sets or these things that we look upon it and we don't really know. Maybe, oh, could God use something like this? God could use everything, you know, and we really just need to know, you know, just to really tap into this thing. You know, I was reading this story. Rick Warren was talking about, you know, kind of the people that were in his church, and he was in a kind of meeting, and he was talking with people, and he needed someone to make a video for this new project that they're doing. And then while he was having coffee, one of the people in the church said, "Oh, why don't you ask that guy over there?" You know, and the guy happens to be the head director of video for Walt Disney Company, right? And so he went and stuff and kind of took care of it, right? You know, and then he needed to get some other task or some other thing, you know, something done. You know, I forgot exactly what it was. It was some kind of a project thing, you know. And then you know, turned up to be the person again. So I want you to go talk to this person. This person was like the national head. You know, I wish I could remember. I don't remember what it was, sorry. You know, but it was something. But, I mean, there's so many resources at this church. Tell me what you're good at. You know, I mean, really. You know, it's not pride. You know what I mean? It's not, especially if you want to use it, to, you know, to serve his kingdom and stuff. You know, tell me what you're good at. Tell me what you like. You know, tell me what you like to do. You know, and take those skills, right? Take those gifts. You know, and use it to bless the kingdom of God. You know, and when that happens, I tell you, I guarantee you, there is so much satisfaction. There is so much fulfillment, you know, when this happens, right? You know, there's people here in this church with all kinds of abilities, right, that are not being put to use. All right, recruiting, researching, writing, you know, flowers. How would we call that, making flowers? What is that? Flower arranging. You know, it'd be nice to have some flowers here. You know what I mean? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that you can do. Promoting, decorating, planning, you know, entertaining, repairing, drawing. You know, I mean, there's so many things that you can do. Cooking, right? That's always a good skill. You know, cleaning. I mean, there's so much, right? And you can give yourself to that and just be so blessed, right? All these abilities should not be wasted. You know, 1 Corinthians 12:5 says there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Right, and this is what happens. You know, Bill Hybels. Bill Hybels is a pastor of Willow Creek Church, one of the most dynamic churches in the United States. And he was in a leadership meeting, you know, with all of his pastors, and he was kind of pushing them into this next year, and they needed like these thousands of volunteers. And he was in this meeting. He said, "We got to recruit volunteers. We got to do it, you know, on and on and on." And some of the pastors in the church, kind of like the newer ones, they didn't really know kind of the vibe of Willow Creek. And they kind of stood up and says, "You know, aren't we asking a little too much of our congregation? You know, aren't we loading them with too much stuff? You know, because you know they're raising their family, they're at their jobs and doing this and that. You know, and the guy was kind of being apologetic towards the congregation. And Hybels kind of stood up and kind of really let the guy have it in some way. But he basically said, "You know, there's these people here, you know, that come to our church and they work in these mundane jobs." You know, and, you know, they work, you know, 9 to 5 every day, and they do these things, and they don't really draw fulfillment from. And he says, "But we as a church, we provide them with opportunities to take their God-given abilities, their God-given gifts, their talents, the things that they learn, and to bring that skill set to the house of God and get an eternal reward." And the Bible says, "I will never apologize for asking people to do things." I thought, man, that was good. You know what I mean? And that's so true, right? You know, we need to, as a church, we need to provide an opportunity, a forum for you to come with all the wonderful things that God has given to you, all the wonderful things that God has done in your life, right? He's given to you, and to bring them under the house of God, and that you get an eternal reward, right? Remember, yeah, we talk about this all the time. You know, think about this, you know? Sean, who was with me, he sat in the car for an hour. That's all he did. And he was on his phone, you know, listening to music while I was, you know, going out doing this stuff, you know? You know, he sat in the car for an hour. You know, he could sit in someone else's car for an hour. That's it. He just sat in the car for an hour, right? He sits in the car, right, serving the church, eternal reward. You know, I mean, it may sound ridiculous, right? It seems unfair, but no, it's very fair, right? He sacrifices time to do God's work. It just could be a very simple thing, you know? We need to get these books, right? Serving the Lord. Serving you guys, because you guys will be having these books soon. Eternal reward and blessing on top of that, right? That's what happens. That's what happens when we serve in God's house, right? He blesses, you know? And so we need to continue to begin to move in these things, right? I mean, what a blessing to use your skills for God. Right? I'll give you another good example. Some of us at our church, we have some mad negotiation skills, right? You know, we have some lawyers, you know, some heady bankers, you know. Do you guys remember when I was sick, right, in the hospital, it was typhoid? Right? I remember Angela and Mike chasing down the nurses, negotiating, you know, kind of to make sure I got the right medicine and all these things. I mean, that's being used to serve God's purposes. You know what I mean? And so take all these things, you know. Our church, and, you know, we're so blessed, especially with computer skills. You know, Matt, Ken, and Nate. You know, Tom, I'm sorry. You know, Nate's not good with computers. You know, but they have come and they use the skills that they learn in school. They pay good money for in college, you know, and they're using it to advance his kingdom here at church. I mean, that's what I'm talking about, right? And what a blessing it is. You know, for them to sacrifice their time and do that, because they're receiving an eternal reward, right? I mean, they, you know, and blessing on top of that, right? So A is abilities, right? P shaped, right? P is personality, right? It's obvious that God has not used a cookie cutter, right, to create people, right? We talked about it before. He made each of us individually unique. There are some of us, we are extroverts. Some of us are introverts. How many of you guys know that you're an extrovert, right? Right? And so if you know that, you need to get involved in, like, welcoming team, you know, or you need to get involved in kind of, ministries that kind of facilitate that kind of thing, you know, and obviously a lot of you guys are introverts, you know. I don't know what to do with you guys yet. We'll figure that out soon, right? I'm just kidding, right? You know, I mean, you're probably, you know, most introverts actually, If you actually look in church structure, they're what they call the backbone of the church, because they're the ones that do everything behind the scenes, right? You don't get to see them because all the extroverts are out there, you know, everyone sees them doing stuff, and the introverts are the ones behind the scenes doing everything, and they love it. You know what I mean? They don't want the recognition, right? Not that the extroverts do it for recognition, right? But they just like to be behind the scenes, do their thing, you know, and thus get a hefty reward from God. You know, it's amazing. God's made us that way. You know, there's some people here that you love routine, and other people here, you love variety, right? There's some people work best individually, right? Other people work better with a team, you know? And so we all have different personalities. That's all good, right? But God's going to use every part of that, right, to bring about his purposes, right? There's no right or wrong temperament for ministry, right? You got to realize there's no right or wrong. You know, it's not the extroverts are better or introverts. It's not that way at all, right? It's all different, right? We need all kinds of personalities to balance the church and give the church flavor, right? I mean, we really do, right? We need all of these things. You know, the world would be a very boring place if we're all the same, right? Can you imagine how the world would be if there was only one flavor of ice cream? What if there was only vanilla ice cream? That's it. Life would suck. You know what I mean? I mean, just think about that, right? And things, and so, I mean, we need to really understand that, right? We love these things. You know, fortunately, ministry comes in many, many flavors, right? Your personality will affect, okay, how and where you use your spiritual gifts and abilities. For instance, two people may have the same gift of evangelism, correct? But if one is introverted and the other is extroverted, that gift will be expressed in different ways. Right? In other words, the gift of evangelism may be there. One may just go out and say, "Hey, my name's Sam. How are you doing? You know, you want to come to church with me today?" You know, and some people are just very good at doing that, right? Kind of like popcorn evangelism. You know, they're the ones that are very easy to, you know, go on the street with some, you know, some brochures and some flyers and pass it out to people. And, you know, and some people, that's a gift, but they're not quite that way. And others would rather do it kind of relationally, you know, spend a lot of time with someone and just kind of build and grow in that way. And that's okay. It's still the same gift that's ministering, but it's expressed in different ways. You kind of see that picture? Right? When you minister in a manner that is consistent with the personality God gave you, you experience fulfillment, satisfaction, and fruitfulness. It feels good when you do exactly what God made you to do, doesn't it? I mean, it's an awesome feeling, right? The last one, E, right? Shape for ministry, E, is experiences. Listen to this very carefully. God never wastes an experience. Turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking. God never wastes an experience. Right? Romans 8:28. This one let's turn to. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. And now we know that God causes all things to work for good, right, to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Right? We know that God causes all things to work for good to those who, right, love him and are called according to his purpose. Now, don't misunderstand that text. It doesn't say God causes everything to be good. You know what I mean? God calls everything for good when people love him and his purposes are alongside of that. Okay? And so we understand that. You know, I realize God uses all of my experiences. You know, one of the first times I ever actually did ministry, I was here in 1992, and you know, I was my basketball team came to Hong Kong. You guys heard this story many times, and we're having a basketball camp at Hong Kong International School, and we're sleeping at the school because it was back then it used to be an overnight camp. And I was there, and I really, you know, it's like I was brand new Christian. You know, I had only been saved for a few months. And I was here, and I was supposed to teach these kids, you know, basically basketball, but also about Christianity and these things. And obviously, in order for you to, especially with young people, in order for you to speak into their life, right, you have to have some kind of connection. And so while I was there, you know, we were talking, and we had the room with the kids, and it was amazing. I could have such a good conversation with these kids. You know, my parents made the very incredible bad judgment putting cable TV in my room since I was about, about 14 years old, right? Do you remember when MTV first came out, I was one of the first subscribers. You know, I remember they only showed three videos the whole time, Beat It and Talking Heads. You know, there was only like four videos out there. And so they would just play the same ones over and over again. And so I had cable TV, and there was this new station that came out. I mean, it's the most amazing station ever, ESPN. Right, you know, the Total Sports Network, and ESPN, and I watched it all the time. In fact, during college basketball season, I would stay up every night, watch it till about 3 a.m, right? Because they would show all the games, you know. And so I had this plethora of knowledge in my head about all kinds of stuff. And you know, when those kids were in the room, right, and we were talking about stuff, I knew everything they talked about. I knew even more than them. Not like I was like Cliff Clavin, right, and said, well, this is, you know, but I was able to share with these guys and just really, you know, really draw and all these things and really open a door for me to minister to these. And these guys thought, man, this guy's cool, man. You know, this guy's not one of those old farts that, you know, kind of thing. Like, he knows what's going on and, you know, and watching, like, The Simpsons and, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? All these times that you know, like, looking back, like, waste time watching TV and all these things, man. God used all that stuff. I'm totally serious, right? God used all that stuff because I started connecting with these kids. That was ministry. God never wastes an experience. I mean, really. He never, ever wastes an experience. You know, and so you need to recognize that, and you can realize that God will turn those things for good. Even, listen very carefully, even negative experiences. You know, especially for ministry, you know, some of the ways that for me that I feel like I can really connect and really help someone is to share about what I've overcome. You know, kind of share what I've gone through in my own life, you know, and not just the good stuff, right? Because, I mean, you know, no one wants to hear the good stuff, but it's like, you know, I went through this myself, you know, and I'm telling you, man, there's a way for you. There's a hope for you. You know, I went through a very similar struggle like that, and God did this for me, or I did this, and this is what happened, right? And God will take even those negative experiences in your life. You remember this story that I tell, right? So my friend once, I was speaking at a friend's church, And I noticed that there was a girl that was sitting in the back, and she was just crying throughout the whole time I was sharing, you know. And so afterwards, you know, we had finished speaking, I walked up to her, you know, and I said, "Hey, is there anything wrong? Can I pray for you?" You know, and this girl, her parents are going through divorce. This group was supposed to be a young adult, but she was a senior in high school, and so she was not supposed to be here, but she was there anyway. I guess God had his purposes, and so she came, and she just got released from the hospital a little bit because she tried to commit suicide. You know, and she still had the, you know, kind of the bandages around her wrist and everything, and I'm sitting there, and I was like, wow, I've never really met a suicidal victim before, not a victim, but someone who's trying to commit suicide. And I was kind of at a loss for words, but I was praying for her and, you know, trying to do these things. All of a sudden, this guy comes out of nowhere, and he was in the meeting. He was this kind of old guy, kind of looks like a hippie, you know, and he came and he sat right up next to us. And I just remember it was like an angel from heaven, because I was at a total loss. And he sat right next down to us. We were sitting on the floor, and he just, you know, came and just kind of patted her and said, you know, it's going to be okay. Don't worry, right? There's hope for you. And next thing you know, he came and he rolled up his sleeves, you know, and he rolled it all up, and there's these two huge scars. And he said, you know, I wanted to kill myself too, you know, many, many years ago, you know, but thank God that that God saved me, you know, and now my life is full. And she just began to share his testimony with this girl. And finally, this girl stopped crying and kind of looked up, and you could see some hope in her eyes. You know, basically, she thinks that their parents are getting divorced because of her, and so she can't handle it, right? Which is for the furthest thing from the truth. And so this guy, his negative experience comes, really like an angel from heaven, you know, and just so ministered to this girl. And when this guy prayed for her, man, it was powerful. You know what I mean? I'd like to think I have powerful prayers, but it was nothing, you know? And when this guy was praying, whoa, even I was like, man. You know, you just feel like goosebumps, you know what I mean? Such anointing, because God had used even his negative experience. You know, there's a lot of crap that happens to us in this world. This world belongs to the devil, right? And there's a lot of stuff in this world, you know, and a lot of things that happen to us that are very unfortunate, you know, but when you submit that to God, I guarantee God is going to use that someday, and you're going to speak into someone's life so powerfully that you're going to give them hope where there was no hope, right? You're going to give them a sense of an open an opening where for that person it seemed like doors were closed for so long, right? God does that. He uses every experience, our good ones, of course, and that's the testimony, and that's, you know, that's the value of what Sean came and gave to you guys today, but also our negative experiences, right? Here are some five areas of experience that will help you consider the kind of ministry that you should. Also, your vocational experience. What jobs have you enjoyed and achieved results while doing? Right? What are some things vocationally that you do, that you enjoy doing, and that you get good results doing? Maybe God wants to use you in that way. You know, maybe that you're very good with money. You know, why don't you join our finance team? You know, and help them, you know, with their budgets and, you know, and all these kind of stuff. I mean, you know, it would just be a great way to do the experience you have vocationally. Also, your spiritual experiences. What have been meaningful or decisive times with God in your life? Spiritual times. You know, and generally out of that is an open door for ministry. Some of you guys, you know, like, oh, man, I was really blessed, you know, when I pray. And so, you know, so what do you do? Man, you go and pray for others. You know what I mean? Or, you know, I was really, I experienced so many wonderful things when I go to retreat. So what do you do? You try to grab as many people to go to retreat as well. You know, and so what are these spiritual experiences in your life that God is going to use? Also, what are your ministry experiences? How have you served God in the past? You know, what things that happened in your life that you served Him in the past? And the last one is painful experiences. What are the problems, hurts, and trials that you've learned from? You know, probably this by far, you can really speak into someone's life when you begin to share, you know, what's going on with you. You know, some of us, we come from abusive backgrounds, and you share that, you know, and maybe someone else is going through that, and you administer hope. You know what I mean? You administer peace and love to those people. It's a wonderful thing. This is how ministry is done, right? God has sovereignly determined your shape for His purpose. So you shouldn't resent it, and you shouldn't reject it. Romans 9:20, I'll read this. You guys can look it up later. It says, "On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? Or does the potter not have a right over the clay? You know, instead of trying to reshape ourselves, you know, to be like someone else, we should celebrate the shape that God has created us and given each one of us, right? And then use that to impact the world. You know, wise stewardship of your life begins by understanding your shape, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, right, your personality, and your experiences. And you will be the most effective and fulfilled in ministry when you use your spiritual gifts, abilities, and the area of your heart's desire in a way that best expresses your personality and experiences. Let me read that again. You'll be the most effective and fulfilled in ministry when you use your spiritual gifts and abilities in the areas of your heart's desire in a way that best expresses your personality and experiences, right? What God made you to be determines what God intends for you to do, right? What God made you to be determines what God intends for you to do. Let's close our eyes.